what's, but so long as we stay in the Lord, we're going to always remain victorious. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Amen. So a victory seeking God, a victory having God, a victory earning God. Amen. Beloved, won't you recite this motto with me that we recite each Sunday before we move into the preaching moment? It's so wonderfully displayed here to my left and for most of you to your right. Won't you repeat after me, please? We are the church.
We are the church.
With the open doors.
With the open doors.
Where hearts are healed.
Where hearts are healed.
Souls are saved.
Souls are saved.
And God is praised.
And God is praised.
Amen. I like that. Amen. Let us pray, saints of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our good and gracious God, we come before you this morning in humble prayer, asking that once again you would be with us and stand by us throughout this preaching moment. Be with us, Father, that our eyes will be open to your instruction. Be with us, Father, that our ears might be attuned to your word and your way. Be with us, Father, that we might be inspired and encouraged in our praise, for you are worthy of it all. Allow your name to be lifted high this day and each day, Father, even as you allow your servant to decrease, that your spirit might now increase. In the mighty name of Jesus, O God, our God, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of us all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, church, today, we want to try and be responsible, as we always do, with the Word of God. And you all know that we are coming out of the book of Acts in chapter 2, and just using one verse, verse 47, as it has already been ably read in your hearing. And church, I would like to use this verse as the launch pad for our sermon topic today, which is, it's going to be a part of a series, actually. So we can call this Secrets of Church Growth, Part 1, Keep On Praising.
All right.
Can we say that together? Secrets of Church Growth, Part 1, Keep On Praising. And church, as many of you already know, or as many of you know already, where we are in the book of Acts is an exciting place in the life of the early church. In fact, I believe it is wholly appropriate to label this particular chapter the inauguration of the church. This chapter, chapter 2, is an exciting chapter where the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, rushes in on believers who were gathered in one place. The Holy Ghost, the third person of the triune Godhead, is said to have rushed in like a roaring, mighty windstorm and filled up the entire house where they, the disciples of Christ Jesus, were held up. In chapter 2, we get to see the Holy Ghost like maybe we have not ever seen it before. We see it as a powerful force that changes and empowers those with whom it has contact. We see the Holy Spirit of God as a power-filled force that should be somewhat unsettling, or somewhat as unsettling as it is nurturing, church. A power that roars like a mighty wind and yet empowers those who encounter it to do things that they could not do and be people they failed to be before. You all know what I'm saying, church. Here is the place where we see this presence of God that Jesus said he and the Father would send, that has the quality of being both intimidating and intimating, or producing intimate relationship with those it touches. He is the Spirit of God with us. And that Spirit is shown to be both powerful and personal. It is an awe-inspiring presence of God that rushes in on God's people to inspire things in us, to shift and change some things about us for the better. In church, in chapter 2, we see it gloriously enabling some former bumbling disciples. Some might even call them slow or obtuse disciples, into some fire-filled proclaimers of God's word who speak in multiple tongues that people from all nations could hear the gospel about the God-man Jesus. Even Peter, the disgraced disciple who denied his association with Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed, is given great strength to stand up with power and preach about a Savior God who thought it not robbery to take off glory and come down through 42 generations of man to save us from ourselves. In this chapter, we witness the exciting transition where the somewhat powerless become powerful and step out front for King Jesus.
Right.
And church, before we move any further today, I need somebody in here to know what our ancestors knew all too well, that with the Spirit of God, you can step out front for Jesus. No matter whether or not you are the sons and daughters of former slaves or former masters, you can step out front for Jesus. Whether you are educated or uneducated, you can step out front for Jesus. Whether you are loud or quiet, you can step out front for Jesus. I know that some of you are not naturally extroverted. Some of you are not naturally outspoken or boisterous. You are not the one somebody else would call verbose or loquacious. Church, some of us are not loud, not talking about me, but some of us are not loud and outgoing by nature, yet God still called us. God still saved us, which means that God still wants us to stand up like Peter did and tell our story too. Somebody in here today needs to know right here and right now that there is power in the Holy Ghost. Power for the meekest and the mildest among us to stand up and tell somebody about King Jesus. To stand up with power and tell somebody about this somebody who can save anybody. Church, you know I'm telling the truth, right? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture says, and this is the New International Version now, church, it says, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
Hallelujah.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Beloved, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we will receive power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Church, that Holy Ghost power is something else. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning, church? That Holy Ghost power is something else. It will get in you and get you to testify. It will get in you and get you to hollering and crying and doing it all in Jesus' name. The songwriter was saying, I can't explain the power I feel when I call your name. It's just like fire shut up in my bones. The Holy Ghost is moving and it just won't leave me alone. Y'all remember what Deacon Tadlock saying that for us, right? Something happens when that power, when that Holy Ghost power hits you that makes you want to call out and testify for Jesus. Yeah. When we talk about secrets of church growth, beloved, we cannot talk seriously without talking about the Holy Ghost. You all with me, church?
Yeah.
It all begins with the presence of God.
Right.
It all begins with the presence of God in us. Do we have it in us, church?
Right now.
If we don't have it, and we are looking to grow as a church, I think maybe we ought to go get it. Amen?
Right.
Yes, church.
That's right.
Yes, church growth begins with each disciple and our relationship with King Jesus and his Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Yeah. It begins with each one of us and our relationship with the triune God. Are we experienced in that fire that gets shut up in our bones? We cannot effectively talk about Jesus if we haven't yet been touched by that power, church. It's his power that shows us who he is. It's his Holy Ghost power that attests to his grace and his favor. Y'all know it is he who grabs us and holds us in the bosom of his Holy Spirit and literally changes us and charges us up for his praise. Somebody knows I'm telling the truth. Church, yesterday, I was coming down River Road heading to church for the deacon's meeting. And I just started casually praying. Y'all know sometimes we take prayer for granted, right? Sometimes it becomes mundane and passe. It's something we sort of just do. So I started casually praying, and the Holy Ghost hit me. I was not expecting it. The Holy Ghost hit me so hard and so fast that I had to grab the steering wheel tighter.
Yeah.
As I just started weeping and singing about that name.
Yeah.
Somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have a voice because I've been sick. But I kept on praising and I kept on clapping and I kept on crying. And yes, I even started rapping. I sang out, Elder, y'all, you remember this one now. I sang out, I said, Lord of Lords and yes, King of Kings.
Yeah.
Yo, let me explain what that means. It means he rules and reigns supreme. And nothing happens that's not foreseen. I was caught off guard. And I was caught up in another place, church. I mean, I was still on the road driving. I could see what I was doing. And the Lord kept me safe. But I was weeping 1 second and yelling out hallelujah the next. I was under the unction, the influence of the Holy Ghost. And I felt the power of his presence in his name. You all hear me, church? I went to call in that name because the Holy Spirit said, call it. The Holy Ghost told me to call it. It said, say his name. And I couldn't help it. I called out to Jesus. I called out for Jesus. I called out in the name of Jesus. The church, what I'm trying to say is that I was catapulted into praise. The Holy Ghost shifted my focus. The Holy Ghost shifted my focus and ordered my thoughts into praise. Somebody hears what I'm saying, church. We need that Holy Ghost power. If we are going to grow as a church, each and every one of us, we need the Holy Ghost power. If we are going to increase in our numbers and in the spirit. So before we go to doing anything else, church, I want to challenge somebody to first get to know the Holy Ghost. You hear me, saints? Somebody might be asking, well, how, preacher? How do I get to know the Holy Ghost?
Help us.
And church, I'm so pleased to tell you that all you have to do, y'all hear me now. I'm so pleased to tell you that all you have to do is ask. In the book of James, in the 4th chapter, we are told that we do not have because we do not ask. And when we ask, We ask with the wrong motives. Church, all we have to do is ask God with the right motives. All we have to do is ask God, but it has to be with some sincerity, church. All we have to do is ask God, but it has to be with some humility, church. All we have to do is ask God, but it has to be with some understanding, church. Understanding that as a disciple, y'all hear me now, understanding that as a disciple of Christ, we stand in a privileged place of unmerited grace. Y'all heard that right? I said we're understanding that we stand in a very privileged place of unmerited grace. That God did not have to do another thing for us, but he looked down on us in our wretched state and decided to send his only begotten son to save us from ourselves anyway. Unmerited grace, church. We have to understand that we have been forgiven by God's grace and mercy, not by earned reward. We have to understand what we have been given in Jesus. And when we call on the power of the Holy Ghost, it's going to take us and make us and mold us and melt us into the very image of God. It's going to show us that one of the first secrets of church growth is getting hooked up with the Holy Spirit. And beloved, without the Holy Ghost is a church. Let me say it like this. Beloved, a church without the Holy Ghost is a church without authenticity. Did you all hear me say? If we ain't got the Holy Ghost moving in us and around us, we lack authenticity and folks will notice. Somebody else might want to sugarcoat it for your church. I say enough of that sugarcoating that leaves God's people ignorant and powerless, saints. We need to know that the church has to be signed and sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That the church has to be signed and sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost to be attractive to the lost and the lame, the wayward, and the wicked.
Yes, right.
If you and I want the church to grow, saints, we have to start looking at ourselves and our relationship with Christ Jesus. Y'all know we like to blame everyone else for growth, right? But today, God says if you want the church to grow, start with yourself. We have to start looking at ourselves and our relationship with the Holy Ghost. And look at this now, church. Chapter 2 shows us we need a relationship with the Holy Ghost, right? But in our scripture for today, it says, and this is the New Living Translation now, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Oh, I heard a final word right there, church. Did you hear it? The scripture said that after the Holy Ghost blessed them, they kept on praising God, enjoying one another, and God did the rest. Did you see it, church? If we want to start growing as a church, we got to keep fellowshipping as a church. If we want to keep growing as a church, we're going to have to keep enjoying one another as a church and let God do the rest. Did you see it, saints? If we want to start growing as a church, yes, the very first thing each of us has to get is a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost that directs us right to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
But church, the Holy Ghost, as said earlier, makes us call out. It makes us praise. It makes us worship God and his blessed son, Jesus. It makes us praise him. It makes us worship him. So thus saith the Lord, church, let the Spirit do what it do.
Yes, sir.
Y'all heard me, right?
Yes, sir.
Let the Spirit do what it do. Let the Spirit use you to give God the glory. Don't you be ashamed. Don't you stifle the Holy Spirit. Let it use you to give God the glory. If you want to grow, First Baptist, focus in on the quality of your praise and worship. I want to challenge us today to tell the Holy Spirit to have its own way in us. The songwriter said, have your way, Lord. Have your way in me. Church, invite the Holy Spirit in for real from now on. Y'all hear me now, right? I know it is scary to think about what might happen. Y'all heard my story coming down River Road. So stop thinking and start doing.
All right.
Tell the Holy Ghost, I invite you to come into my heart.
Yeah.
I invite you, Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, to both change and charge my heart up.
Amen.
Run wild in me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Set me free.
Yes.
Set me free, Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Set me free to praise and worship my God. You all hearing me right now, church? There is a challenge on the floor. A challenge that may surprise you now. A challenge, church, that if you take it serious, may have you screaming his name and singing his praise uncontrollably. So be ready, beloved. Be ready for a worship experience like you haven't had before. Be ready for praise and worship, a praise and worship experience where you might fall out in the spirit. Where you might be slain in the spirit. You might start calling that name over and over again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of y'all, I know y'all done had it. Where you out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit hits you.
Yeah.
And you might start crying. You might start sweating. And you just start calling, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, have mercy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And church, this is where God wants us to be. And let him do the rest. Y'all heard that, right?
Yes.
We're going to talk about what the rest is in later sermons on this topic. But right now, God is saying, I need the focus of the faithful few. I need the praise of the prepared parishioners from the pulpit to the pew.
Yes.
Show me those hearts of praise and worship. And I'm going to start adding to your number.
Hallelujah.
The world and its troubles can sometimes distract us from our number one call, church. How many of y'all know sometimes we come into church, and don't tell on yourself, but how many of y'all know sometimes we come into church and we more concerned about the person that ticked us off than we are about giving God the praise and worship? God said, I want you to show me the hearts of praise and worship. I want you to show me that you can come into my house with no agenda in your mind besides my praise and my worship. I want you to show me what it looks like when some parishioners are focused on my praise. Yes, it is true that we must feed the hungry and house the homeless. Yes, it is true that we must clothe the naked and shield the broken. Yes, it is true that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. But our first and primary call is a call to praise and worship our God. We have duties in this world, no doubt, but we have a primary call to his praise. You all with me, church? So while we are looking to grow as a church, Jesus says, first, I want you to grow in my spirit. Was I clear?
Yeah.
If you want to grow as a church, I want you to grow in my spirit. Grow in my spirit that makes you want to praise and worship. And church, you will know you have it when you stop making excuses about coming to church on a Sunday morning. Now, church, I used to feel like Sunday was just another obligation. Just another obligation on my life. You hear me, right? Before I asked the Holy Ghost to touch my heart. I was always looking at my watch, wondering what time church was going to be over. And beloved, I was always like that when I was a baby with my daddy too. He had to pop me in my head and threaten me to even stay awake during church. I could be in the front row, pastor could be talking, the choir could be singing, and I'm snoring. But look at God, church. Oh, have mercy. Look at God. Look at the Holy Ghost, church. You are now looking at a man who does not find the kind of joy I find in worship in any other thing I do. If I am not in worship, I might come off like I am okay. But I need you to know, I need you to believe me when I tell you that I am suffering inside. Being able to give God praise and worship is everything to me. Y'all hear me now. Being able to give my God praise and worship is everything to me. The songwriter said, praise is what I do. When I want to get close to you, I lift up my hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless his name at all times. Praise and worship. Worship and praise. That's who I am. That's who we are, church. So Jesus says, if that's who you are on the right track. If you want to start growing, just keep on praising. There it is. If you want to start growing, just keep on praising. Keep on praising Jesus and lifting up his name every chance you get. Keep on praising until you cannot feel right without it. Keep on praising until you are chomping at the bit to get to church. Oh, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. When you don't get to worship, your week don't go right. When you don't get to worship, you be walking off balance and feeling off kilter. When you don't get to worship, all of a sudden you feel weak inside. You don't feel charged up anymore. Oh, somebody knows what I'm talking about. You need worship. So keep on praising until you feel it. Don't worry so much about the money and the numbers for a minute, pastor. I need you to worry about my praise and my worship first. Did you give me some perfect praise this Sunday? Did you lift up my name this Sunday? Did you tell somebody that the name of Jesus is a name of power this Sunday? The first secret of collective church growth is wrapped up in the quality of our individual praise. It's wrapped up in the integrity of our worship, one disciple at a time. Is the Holy Ghost leading your praise and your worship, beloved? Is your praise and worship authentic? When you get to church, are you chomping at the bit to get your praise on? Or are you watching the clock and waiting for a dismissal? Beloved, the Hebrew word for praise is halal, and it means excited boasting. Y'all heard that word, excited, right? The Hebrew word for praise is halal. It means excited boasting. And the Holy Ghost, because y'all need to know, some of us don't believe that praise should be excited. Y'all know that, right? But the word means excited boasting. And the Holy Ghost has a way of teaching us how to boast excitedly. So keep on praising, boasting excitedly about the goodness of your God. Tell somebody about that time when you didn't know how you were going to pay your mortgage, and God blessed you from out of nowhere. Tell somebody about that time you were worried about your unruly child, and God brought them back in order. Tell somebody about how you didn't know what was going to happen with your church one week, and God blessed you with thousands of dollars the next. Tell somebody about your testimony about this goodness of this God we serve. Let the Holy Ghost use you to tell somebody about the God of our salvation, who weathered the cross that we might someday come home.
Yes.
Keep on praising it first Baptist. Don't get too distracted by the numbers and the like in the church. I want y'all to hear me now. Don't get so distracted by the numbers in the church. There is fecundity in your faithful praise.
Mm-hmm.
Fecundity means fruitfulness and growth.
Yes.
I'm using it my way now, church. Birthing new souls.
Yes.
And birthing new saints.
Right.
Through your praise.
Yes.
You all with me, church?
Yes.
Don't get discouraged or distracted. For there is fecundity in the consistency of your praise. Yes. Know the Holy Ghost for yourself, church. Let the Holy Ghost lead you in praise. Keep on praising under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it keep knitting us together with Holy Ghost power. Keep on praising under the power of the Holy Ghost. And watch God add to our numbers. Keep on praising, and others will be attracted to the authenticity of your praise. Keep on praising, and we will find favor among God's people. Keep on praising, and watch God do the rest. Keep on praising, and watch the Holy Spirit do what it do. You ain't got to fight too hard. All you got to do is ask. But ask with the right mindset. Ask him with the right spirit. Ask him in humility. Ask him out of your love. Ask him out of your gratefulness. And watch what God will do to bless you and to bless your church. This is the first rule of church growth. Remember to get your praise on. Remember to get a relationship with the Holy Ghost, and God will do the rest.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give God some hand praise.
The power to share.